from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Amazing, bro. If you go look at our numbers together, they're at the top of the charts. And I have no doubt that they're going to get the deal done. And we all know that I want that here. Jerry wants that here too. So let's just get this under control. Kill the speculation.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
That's well hit into right center field. Go ball. It will go, yes. Indeed, into the third row. Bob DeYoung goes to the opposite field.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Holiday's on the run. And room over the drive. Deep left field into the Los Angeles Knights. The red hot Ramon Urias just keeps on swinging a big stick. And the Orioles jump back in front on Urias' 10th of the year.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland sports leader 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. How
what
we doing?
What is happening?
How you doing?
Feeling good today, buddy. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
I get my volume right in my headphones. A little loud. Your 6:02 in the Rose City caught me off guard. It was coming in hot.
It's coming in real screaming.
Coming in real scream, a little screamo this morning.
I don't like the volume in my headphones.
Yeah, you got to get the volume right.
Sometimes it's too high. Sometimes it's too low.
It's never just right.
No.
And it's going to lead to being deaf by the age of 42, probably.
I got a little antsy this morning.
What are you antsy about? Antsies in your panties over there?
What are my spring and line picks
going to be? Oh, I know it's the first official week, dude.
It is, yeah.
Even though it's kind of dumb because we can't actually gamble these games.
Should we keep our college picks separate from NFL picks?
Well, you know my stance on spring and the line. I only use picks that I actually bet, which is, that's my rule. Nobody else has to follow that rule, but that's my rule.
So you're going to give us baseball?
This week, maybe. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm throwing the challenge flag. Veto. You're not allowed.
I almost hit another.
You got to pick college football.
I almost hit another Friday parlay of the day last week.
Almost doesn't count.
It was close. 3 out of 4.
Oh,
3 out of 4.
Doesn't
it was
count.
Right there. It's right there. My own team screwed me. I bet the under on Giants and Mariners, and somehow they scored a lot of runs in the first game.
Just do this. We all know you're not driving to Alene.
No, I'm not.
Or Spirit Mountain.
No, I will not.
So just give us picks.
I'll give you picks. I'll give you college picks this week.
You think everybody in the world this industry giving picks in college or whatever is making a gamble on every pick?
Here's the thing, and this would be the question I would ask you. Now, a week from Thursday, we get the start of the NFL season.
Yeah, so next week we get
so
NFL.
So next week, yeah. NFL games are included.
Yeah.
There will also be a game a week from Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I might tie in the Thursday night, Friday night games for this week's Spring in the Line, if acceptable to the committee.
I'm going to say no,
you
actually.
You going to vote me down on that? What about the Thursday
game? Because the Thursday game
will happen before the next Spring in the
Thursday
Line exists.
Thursday I'll give you. Friday, no. I want 2 college picks.
Okay, I'll give you 2 college.
I just want to know where you're at in college.
And a Thursday night game.
Okay.
It's so dumb. I get so angry this time of year.
I get it. I agree with you.
Like, why can't we just do this?
Because we're a stupid state.
Why are we such a stupid state?
I don't know why we're a stupid state.
I want to log on and place my Oregon minus 52.5 bet this weekend, okay?
Well, yeah, those questions have to be directed to the lottery or who's ever making decisions for the lottery.
I'm going to go politicians.
I'm okay blaming them.
I'm just going to blame them.
Just take charge.
What, get like, out of the way.
And make more money.
Yeah.
I was playing golf with a weed guy the other day, and it was kind of crazy to get a behind-the-scenes look at...
Like, he owns a weed store?
Yeah, he's like a wholesale kind of guy, so he's dealing in, you know, bulk weed, and...
Is he a supplier?
I believe, a supplier.
So you got a weed farm?
A weed farm.
Okay.
And just the number of licenses that they gave out,
yeah,
and how much money they charge every year for the renewal of those licenses, and we were all doing, like, math on our phone of, like, it's like $8,000 to renew your weed license every single year.
Yep.
And then he was giving us the estimated figures of how many farms, dispensaries, this or that, that they've handed out. And just, wow, we're raking in money.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Now, think about how much money we could rake in if you let me gamble on my college football. We're all stupid. We're going to lose our money lottery. We want to give it to you. Let me give you my money.
You're not wrong there.
It's right here. It's in my account. I want to give it to you.
I want to ask you something.
Yep.
Have you ever done a Dynasty Fantasy Football League?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I've done baseball, long-term Dynasty, and I got kicked out of the league after 3 years.
I don't want to talk about my fantasy team.
Mm.
I want to talk about my draft.
I want to go over your roster. Who you got? Who's your HB2? Your RB2?
Well, I had to do an auto draft for the first, like, seven picks.
What is the matter with you?
I had Hood to Coast.
What is going on here?
They scheduled a bad time, but I didn't want to disrupt the whole thing. So I want to make sure I'm accurate in this one.
Were you, like, the only guy that couldn't show up to the draft?
Probably.
Everybody else was able to do it?
Okay, so I am right here. So... there's not that many people in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So my first two picks, the computer took Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill.
Not opposed to that.
RB1, Saquon Barkley. Okay, I'm not that upset seeing this.
Totally fine.
What I wanted to ask you is, have you ever heard of a 24-hour drafting clock?
No.
So this draft started Sunday at 12:30.
Sunday afternoon.
It's what day?
It is now Wednesday at 6:05 in the morning.
I literally just happened to open this sleeper app.
Oh, you on a pick right now?
I'm on the clock.
Oh.
We still have five more picks to go because there's 24-hour clocks now. And so I'm not actively checking this at every minute of the day.
No.
And my cousin, who's in the league, will text me like, you're on the clock.
It's your turn.
And I keep turning auto on and it won't auto. And so I'm stuck here for like... 10 hours.
Trying to find a way to make a pick.
We're still drafting.
Yeah, that's...
It started Sunday. It's Wednesday. What kind of draft is this?
That's a little ridiculous. Now, if you make your pick, does the clock still go, or does it set to the next person?
It sets to the next person.
Okay, so that helps a little bit. So if somebody's realizing I'm on the clock and I make my pick in the next 30 minutes, we don't have to wait another 24 hours. But if somebody's on auto or not paying attention, a la Brandon Sprague,
sure,
that draft's going to be over in like 3 months. You'll be ready for week 4.
I just didn't know this kind of drafting happened.
My high school football coach is in one of these kind of leagues too, and I remember being down there playing golf with him one summer, and he had this the entire weekend we were there, and it was so specific. I just thought you were spending so much, like they're drafting linebackers and defensive linemen.
I just drafted Jalen Ramsey right now,
like dynasty leagues. Like what? Wait, you're on the clock again? He's like, all right, who do I go with? And it was like every 4.5 hours he was back on the clock. Like, how do you keep up with this stuff, man? This is way too many things to pay attention to.
Do you remember when we had a fantasy football draft event?
I do. We used to do it every year.
Yeah.
I used to run that thing, man.
I used to take years
off my life trying to set up those leagues.
Going against listeners, you got to be good. I'm like, God damn it, I don't know anything about fantasy football.
We are terrible fantasy football players, which is why I finally retired. I officially hung my hat up. I don't like it, and I'm out. I'm out on fantasy football.
Yeah, but how many things do you do for your family? I was thinking about this too, because I'm largely with you. I don't mean to talk about fantasy football. I know nobody cares, even though everybody does kind of care.
Everybody cares. They do. Mostly everybody plays fantasy football.
Gambling and fantasy football, we love to say nobody cares about your team or your picks, and yet everybody tells each other, so
everybody.
It's like, I think we do care a little bit.
That'd be a good poll question right out of the gate. What's nerdier, Sprague talking about his dynasty fantasy football team, or me talking about my Georgia Tech dynasty and NCAA football?
Oh, that's a good poll question.
What's nerdier?
I think it's video games.
I think I would probably win.
Yeah.
But I do know that most people roll their eyes when they hear. Everybody wants to talk about their own team. It's like everybody wants.
They don't care about the other person's team. Yeah.
I want to talk about my golf game. I could talk about my golf game for hours. I don't care about anybody else's.
Really?
You hit a seven. I don't care that you hit a 7-iron there. That's great. Good for you. Like, I don't care. But people will often tell me, like, go in depth about their rounds of golf. And I just think, do you think that I care about this right now? That you shot a 93, the double bogey on 8. All right.
I'm thinking of all the times in our lives that I've told you about things, and I'm just now like, you didn't care at any one point.
No, not really.
That's awesome.
No, not really.
All right,
not
you're
really.
Fun to have a conversation
or,
with.
Or your fantasy team right now. But I'm glad you got a good team.
I'm not talking about my actual team.
Jalen Ramsey, good pick. Good pick. Good pick.
I was on the clock.
Good pick. Good pick. I like
he's
that.
Questionable.
Questionable. Old corner. It's good. Good
old
start.
Old corner. Good corner. I don't know.
For Dynasty League, I don't know what we're doing there.
Well, I thought I had hung him up too. And then my cousin texted me, and he invited me years ago in college. I won the league. He uninvited me.
Because you won the league?
Well, he didn't say that, but I won the league, and I wasn't invited back. And I thought that was kind of weird.
That's
horse-ass. I won the league.
That's horse-ass.
And so he invites me back years later, and I'm not a fantasy guy either. I'm probably going to lose because I won't update or get the waiver wire on time.
That's it. You're going to forget about it by week 5. You're going to be like, damn it, I forgot to put my starting quarterback in my lineup. And
right.
Now I'm just going to lose. And then everybody in the league will get pissed at you because you're going to hand somebody an automatic win.
Yeah.
Because you didn't set your lineup.
And so he got me back by just inviting me. You don't ever do anything if family invites you to do something?
Not this related, no. Not fantasy, not this big of a commitment.
Really?
Not that, no.
Your brother hits you up, brother.
He's hit me up multiple times for fantasy football leagues, and I have told him no.
And he can't get you in?
No, I'm out, man.
You don't love your brother?
I do love my brother.
Nah, you don't think you love brother
There's
enough.
A limitation on how long my love can last here. That's an 18-week season now, buddy. That's a commitment from the end of August for the draft all the way through January. That's my whole fall. I gotta set my lineup every week. And then you get in the weird conundrum. I don't gamble a lot of money. I'm very poor. I gambled $5, $10, $20 bets here and there on the NFL.
You're a small unit man.
Small unit man. It's a lot of fun every single weekend. I hate the conundrum of I'm rooting for a team to win for my spreading the line picks, which I take very seriously. But I have a quarterback on my fantasy team that's going against my bet for spreading the line.
You go for gambling.
So then I'm going for gambling, yeah. I have two guys on different fantasy teams, and I'm rooting for this defense and this quarterback. And
yeah.
It's too much to root for. I can't handle that.
It is the thing I hate about it the most is like my quarterback is Matt Stafford. My team is the Niners.
Right.
Little bit of a conundrum twice a year there, buddy.
That is. It should be two very good games. They might win the division this
year.
And
I hope he throws 3 pick sixes and my team wins because I care about that more than I care about fantasy
football. It's amazing how they have gotten us all to just kind of, we have our passionate fandoms, most people do, but to like let those melt away on a week in and week out basis and root for our second running back to get a goal line carry against our favorite team so that they can get into the end zone and I get an extra 25 points.
It's also funny they assume because we do this job we're gonna dominate or we have the most knowledge about them. Like I don't listen to any single podcast.
No,
I don't read almost any fantasy football stuff. Those people don't know. So why do I care?
Right.
If I know the name, I trust my gut. I'm a gut guy. I'm a fantasy gut guy.
That's what I do.
Whereas, like, that usually doesn't win. It's the people who listen to every single Field Yates podcast possible.
It's the same thing with my gambling picks on the weekend. I'm a gut guy. I don't need your gambling content, okay? I like my picks. I know where I want to go this weekend. They're going to be wrong, but I know where I'm going to go this weekend.
I mean, I'll listen to gambling content because I'm curious of angles, but yeah, I'm still largely gut guy when I make that bet.
No chance. I'm right. You're wrong. I know what I'm doing here.
My favorite is if I missed one little note of NFL news on like Wednesday or Thursday, and I make a pick on Saturday. I had a tradition of waking up early on Sunday and listening to our buddy Ken when he was on with Costos.
Right.
And I always loved like making breakfast and my picks are already like they're concrete.
You already locked him in parlays.
And Costos is like, and so-and-so is going to be out today. And I'm like,
cool.
That would have been nice to know yesterday.
Lock that in on Tuesday.
Glad I looked into that.
What was I thinking there? Why did I make that bet on Friday? I should have waited until Sunday.
The point is, we're idiots.
We're all idiots.
We're all idiots.
And it's fun.
It is, well,
gambling's fun.
I think gambling is fun.
This will be a fun thing for us to track because you've been out of fantasy football, I want to say, since the last time we did a listener
league. What was our last year of doing that?
Pre-COVID, 2019, I want to say.
Was it 2019?
I don't think we've done one
since. I don't think it was 2019. I think it was before that.
Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's been a while. And I'm curious how long you make it this year. How long until How long until we get that first Monday segment of, damn it, I forgot to set my lineup. Like that, I know that segment's coming, and I'm just waiting. Like, okay. What's the over-under on week? 7.5, I think we'll set it at, and we'll see if it hits the over or the under.
Well, we got a busy show today. Josh Pate, Pate State University, is coming to a radio program near you today at 7:40.
He's got a new name of his show. He rebranded, new name. It's no longer Late Kick with Josh Pate.
It's the Josh Pate College Football Show.
He's got a new Twitter handle. It's a whole thing.
He's got a logo now.
He does. I'm a little discombobulated. A lot of change early in the season.
He also might be changing my viewing habits.
Oh.
Do you know what he's doing?
No.
So it was announced that he's going to be on CBS's streaming college football pregame show.
They're going to have a big pregame show.
And I'm not anti. I'm sure I'll see some Saban stuff.
Yeah.
I like that McAfee's a wrestling heel for game day.
Yeah.
But I'll probably dabble into the CBS one. I don't like the Big Nooner.
Okay.
I'm out on the Big Nooner.
I'm out on the Big Nooner, too.
It just doesn't feel... I don't know. There's something off about it. Plus, I hate Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer is an absolute... just
kind of garbage.
Horrible
yeah.
human being.
Not in on that. And so, like, I'm out on the Big Nooner.
Mm-hmm.
On game day, I'll dabble, but I'll also support our buddy Josh Pate.
I find myself watching more pregame college stuff than I do pregame NFL stuff.
100%. I don't watch any pregame NFL
stuff. I don't know if it's just because it's Saturday and you're so eager for the weekend to begin, and I'm not really looking. Like, Sunday mornings are like, let's get stuff done before 10 o'clock starts, and then I can sit on my couch all day. Saturday's more like I'm eager and excited to watch all day.
Saturday feels like they care more, whereas Sunday is corporatized and just old school traditional television, and there's too many people. And
just big desks and 27 people on a panel.
All right, JJ Watt, what do you think? Strahan, you're next. Howie Long, you're after that.
Terry Bradshaw is still yelling at me.
Terry Bradshaw, you have a bandage on your head. What happened there?
I'm out on Terry Bradshaw. I'm going to pass on that one.
So Josh Pate will join us at 7:30. Let's get it going. I want to start at an unusual place. We'll get to the big local news, but I want to start at an unusual place, but an important one nonetheless, in my opinion. We'll start there, Dirt and Sprague. Good morning. Let's get it going on Hump Day on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get to NFL Zigger Zag at 6:45. Where we zigging, where we zagging. We got some local news to announce coming up at 6:30. And another reminder of why this sport is stupid.
Oh, we got a dumb sport out there?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I'm going to start at a very random, unusual place, I think.
Fire away, Bob. What do you got?
I read an article yesterday on The Athletic about Jonathan Smith. Yeah, I can't quit him.
You can't. X's will stay in your brain. We just did a segment on Mario yesterday.
I think I've decided where I land on all that.
How you feel about it and your emotions going into it?
I don't think he handled it great.
He did not handle it great.
think he's been a little snaky in terms of just being open and honest about it.
Also, at Big Ten Media Day, not doing it. Like, one interview? I know he talked to Bill Orem in the hallway.
Scrum. It was a scrum with writers, and that was it.
One radio interview? Like, just sit, you know. What are you running from, buddy? You've moved on. Like, just sit down and have an honest conversation.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm rooting for him.
Okay, that's a little weird.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think
it's weird for the majority of people. I think the majority of people
fan
disagrees.
I'm way out on an island on this. I get it. They're going to make fun of him anytime they can. He's a Beaver.
He is a Beaver.
And it's interesting to read this about he's trying to transform Michigan State, the culture, how toxic it... Man, it got... I knew it was bad, but you read this and you realize just how really bleak it got. And only in like 2 years. Remember, they had an 11-win season. They were a top 10 team.
Yes.
The COVID year... Kenneth Walker, right? And then it just crumbles because their coach is a weird perv. And they have to rebuild the culture. So they go with the quiet guy who has success at a very tough place to have success.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting reading about this is his approach to it. He basically came in and asked for a suggestion box. Like, hey, write in what you don't like about this place or write in what you think needs to change.
Yeah, what can we change?
One player wrote a note. When you read this, just call me. That was all it said.
That was it.
And he called the player. Hmm. And he didn't say who the player was, but they talked. And it's just interesting to read, like, rebuilding a situation and how he identified. Basically, he's as open in this interview as he has been in anything else, that he acknowledges he saw the landscape of where he was.
Yeah.
He was having a lot of success. So he looked around. And Michigan State, it just fits what he likes about college football. College town, kind of a lunch pail U vibe. Like, they're the second team in the state.
In their state, yeah.
But they're really well-funded. They've got good tradition.
Yeah, great fan support.
Good area to live in for your family. And so, like, he basically says for him and his staff, he was trying to find a place that just lined up. Being in the Big Ten was something very exciting to him.
Mm-hmm.
And... he basically says, like, it's just no secret. What was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I've always kind of made that defense for him of, when you're that stinking good, you're kind of taking in a little bit ways a demotion because now you're a Mountain West coach. And, like, what if it doesn't go well?
Yeah.
Now you're not getting the jobs offered to you. So I can fully understand why most people are against him. But I think I found myself, like, I'm not pom-pom Michigan State waving. I hope he has success. And plus, the Aiden Childs take the over comment was just delightful.
Yeah, what do we gamble on this year, Aiden Childs, or for the opener? Yeah, take the over.
It actually
over
worked.
Is.
Do you know that their over got up because people started betting the over?
Yeah, and this is where I feel like, to your thought on him not handling it well, he clearly did not. But the fair assessment of Jonathan Smith is that there's no real right way to handle this. Like, people will be upset. When you get dumped and left at the altar, it's not going to end well for the other fan base. There's going to be animosity. There's going to be anger. I don't, where was this interview done? What was the outlet that came out?
The
with
Athletic.
This? So it was in The Athletic.
It was one of The Athletic. I think it was the Michigan State writer.
So this is where I feel like he did genuinely miss the boat, though, because, again, there's no right way to handle it. People are still going to be upset. But doing something like this in a sit-down, long-form interview phase with somebody that covers Oregon State or with somebody on the West Coast or with a radio host to have this conversation of like, what did you want me to do? I was basically asked to be the savior of a program that I don't know where the landscape's going to leave us in the next 2 to 3 years. So if I hold on for 1 year, how many years do you want me to hold on for? If I'm not in the Big 12 after 1 year of being a Mountain West school, do I then stay for another year or then can I go? Do
and
I
then
stay
are
for
you
2 years?
Still a snake if you stay,
right?
If you leave,
and then
after
am
that
I still going to
yeah.
get a job offer right. like this if I stay? Like,
right.
I think sitting down and having a conversation with the fan base to that level maybe brings more people to your side.
But you can't. That's not how that
I know,
works.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
hey,
not,
let me sit down and talk about where I should. Should I stay with you guys or should I go take this?
See, and
this good
it's not even like openly debating whether or not to take the job. It's more so like I took the job, go get settled, and then sit down and be like, hey, let's have a conversation about this and why I made this decision. Oregon State means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. I went to Oregon State. The memories as a player, the memories as a coach, the relationships I built. I owe it to that community and that fan base to have some sort of dialogue instead of basically not saying anything, leaving, the goodwill news comes, you show up at the baseball game not wearing team colors, which is a little odd because you're there supporting the program, so sure. You clearly support. All that dynamic was weird. And then you do this honest interview in The Athletic to a Michigan State writer where a lot of Oregon State fans probably won't even see it. So that's the only criticism I have of him. It's also unique because I've been dumped by a lot of coaches in my life at Oregon in the last 15 years. We've had many a coach leave. None of them were native sons. None of them were our guys. Chip Kelly was from New Hampshire. Willie Taggart was from Florida. Mario Cristobal was from Miami. They weren't Oregon Duck alumni. It wasn't Anthony Newman bolting after being the head coach for 5 years and leading us to success.
Don't you leave us, Q.
And now he's going to go take the job at Arizona State. Like, I didn't have to deal with that weird dynamic where I rooted for him as a player, loved him as a coach, and then was dumped by him and stabbed in the back. And that's what's always made this one so unique.
He said, quote, "I felt I owed it to not just myself professionally, but the assistant coaches to be a little more open-minded when all of the stuff that was going on with conference realignment."
Yeah.
"And when I looked into Michigan State, I did feel like it fit. Blue collar, work ethic, college town, and then yes, being part of the Big Ten Conference and the tradition here, thought it was an opportunity that was pretty good." What's interesting is just the amount of people that think this is, like, confidently thinking this is going to fail. And I think there's a lot of feelings like that, and some of that is, you know, Your own guy left and you didn't think he would leave at that moment. And oh my God, look what's happening in college football.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every Beaver fan loves Aiden Chiles. Pretty jacked about Aiden Chiles.
Yeah, last year he was the chosen one.
Who's the quarterback for Michigan State?
Aiden Chiles.
Okay, so we think they have a pretty good quarterback. How many coaches, and I'm asking sincerely, how many coaches in major college football go to Corvallis after they have one win seasons and make it what it was?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not telling you they're going to beat Ohio State. They're going to beat Oregon. They're going to beat Penn State every year. I just find it interesting that there's almost no confidence that he can succeed there when we already have proof that he can succeed in a very tough climate and situation in Corvallis. Now he's got more funding. He's got more booster money. He's got great facilities. It's not like Michigan State's just been an absolute disaster for 35 years.
It's been a really good program for a long time.
It's been a very good program, and they got hit at a very bad time by a very bad coach.
Yeah.
And now here he is bringing the staff that helped him succeed so well in Corvallis going over to East Lansing.
I think the unique thing about this and any other job, and this was the talking point when he left, and it was simply, You could basically stay at Oregon State as long as you wanted to. Like, even if they had a couple of down years in the Mountain West, didn't go well, like, you weren't going to fire Jonathan Smith. He brought you from, to your larger point, the gutters to being a relevant team that was winning 9 or 10 games. So he was going to have a run for as basically long as he wanted in Corvallis. That's the unique thing when you take a new job. I'd be curious to ask a Michigan State fan, what are your expectations for the next 3 years? I think Michigan State's going to suck this year. I think Aiden Chiles might have some moments. They lost a ton of that roster. That is a rebuild, man. They were 4-8 last year. That was a bad football team. And I know we look at the Mel Tucker year where he won 11 games randomly, but if you go back and dive into that 2021 year, they started the season like 7-0 playing literally nobody.
Then
they went to Ohio State, and I want to say that they were down, it was like a top 10 game, two undefeated teams against CJ Stroud, and they were down like 49-0 at halftime.
Right.
And so it was, oh, you little fraudulent, cooked up 8-0 here, you're not a top 10 team in the country. And then they won a bowl game against a team that played nobody in their bowl game because a lot of their guys opted out. When you look at his 4 years there, he was 2-5 in the COVID year, throw it out, whatever, the one random 11-win season, holy hell, and then a 5-win season, and then a 4-win season.
Yep.
And there was already chatter starting to brew last year with an 11-win season under his belt of, hey, is Mel Tucker going to do something here?
And then the Brenda Tracy
thing then the stuff came out, and it was like, okay, we can fire him because we just gave him a $100 million extension, and he's not living up to that extension.
Sure.
That's the hardest part for Smith, is that I don't really doubt that if you give him enough time and are patient enough that he can get Michigan State back to a respectable spot in college football. But what are their expectations? What does that look like? And what do the first 3 years look like as he tries to rebuild this? He has the most important piece in plays in Aiden Chiles, but they lost so much, and that was already a really bad team. It's going to take him a couple of years to get there.
I know, but having a quarterback that you really trust and really trusts you, by the way, go listen to Aiden Chiles' interviews, man. Like,
that's why he followed him to Michigan State.
He was
going to
follow him no matter where he went. It was all about his relationship with Jonathan Smith. And so it was interesting. College football week one is here. They have Florida Atlantic week one. So hopefully, you know, for their sake, they better win that game. That's on Friday, by the way.
They'll be in Eugene in about a month.
Looks like it's on the Big Ten Network. We can't watch it.
No,
we can't.
No, we can watch
that.
That
one we can watch. That one we can watch.
Oh, that's right.
We can watch the non-West Coast teams.
We'll get to that coming up at 7 a.m.
You soak in that Michigan State game tonight.
No, but I think I've landed. I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
But I'm not pom-pom waving.
I'm not rooting for him. He's in my conference now. Screw Jonathan Smith.
Yeah, I totally.
I hope he goes 1-11 and we win that game by 80 points.
You don't root for anybody not wearing green and yellow, do you?
That's the way it works. Yeah.
Does he do the interview before coming to Autzen or the week of Autzen?
No, I don't think he does.
Does he do the interview?
The local interview.
How many coaches do a local interview?
I'm just wondering.
We do get coaches on in game weeks. We've had Kyle Whittingham on when they've played Oregon or Oregon State. Like, we've done those interviews in the past. He won't do it, though. No.
Why would he?
Yeah.
What does he get from that?
Nothing.
Closure.
Yeah, that's really going to sit well. I'm sure Oregon State fans are going to be delighted to hear from him again.
Any orange and black in the stands on, I think that's October 4th, 5th?
It might be the
4th, 5th,
the one and only time ever you will see Oregon State fans show up to Eugene celebrating a duck touchdown.
Play the foghorn! We're shouting!
Shout!
Come shout with us, man. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, a little bit of local news that might matter, and also they just can't get out of their own way. Next on The Fan. Well, where were you when the massive news broke?
What happened?
The Remix have hired Sergio Leiva.
Oh, God. Are you going Danny Meringue on me right now? Are you Danny Meringuing me? Am I getting meringued right now?
You're getting meringued, baby.
Am I getting meringued?
You're damn right you are.
Are we talking G League coaches right now? The week football kicks off. Are you doing that to me right now? There's football games on tomorrow. Why are we hiring this guy? Who cares?
He was an assistant general manager, and then they just said, hey, why don't you just slide over to be the head coach of our G League team?
Yeah, has he ever coached basketball before?
He's been an assistant. He's had a couple stops as an assistant.
Okay.
But one of the assistant GMs. Here's the only reason I bring it up, and it's Hyken and Gunderson started this, so I want to give them the proper credit.
Give them the props. What do they say?
Sometimes the third eye could be blind. Sometimes the third eye was correct in the looking ahead observation.
Mm.
Do you know who did something kind of similar to this?
Who?
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Ah.
Mark Daigneault was the G League coach.
He was.
And then they made a change, and they just slid him up to the head gig.
So we think this guy's going to be potentially our next head coach? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying
there's a chance.
He's got a coaching resume.
You're telling me there's a chance.
They clearly value his input on talent observation, hence the assistant general manager label.
Yeah.
Jim Moran left to the Kings. So I'm just saying, keep an eye and don't be stunned. If old Chance is out of there in a year, which nobody thinks he'll be back.
And we get Oliva as the new head coach.
Oliva is, hey, we trust this guy. He worked with us internally. We're all on the same page of talent evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
He's got coaching pedigree. Let's see what he does. I'm just saying, keep the third eye open at the potential that this dude is actually who they picked to replace Chauncey Billups.
We tweeted this out as a station yesterday, that this move was made and that the Rip City Remix had hired their new head coach. Big breaking news here locally. And the first response that we got on the
nobody
tweet
cares.
Was Dan Wilson not available? Could we not have hired Dan Wilson? Was he not hanging around
Jay
somewhere?
Buhner, not available?
Couldn't get J. Edgar Martinez? Doesn't
Ichiro?
Want to come down?
What
Come on, we all know we're moving to Seattle eventually, right? Isn't that going to happen? It's so weird to me. Excuse me, that was, I get a frog in my throat. That we are going to go through an entire season knowing that the head coach is not going to be the head coach, but he's still the head coach.
Yeah, I mean,
like, just that whole thing is so weird.
The season in general, like, I think, is going to be a little odd.
They have actually, in the last handful of months, ticked up my excitement. They've won me over. Not completely. I'm still on the outs, but they have done small, marginal moves to get me more excited about the direction of the fan base. The getting off of Root Sports, step number one.
Okay.
Drafting a future defensive player of the year, step number two.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like, you're making inroads
to... They drafted
to,
maybe Kobe year before.
We'll see about that. They're making inroads to repair our frayed relationship. Mm-hmm. All of that I am okay with, and I'm glad that they're going to lose 77 games this year. At least I hope that they do.
5-1 season would be tough.
It'd be entertaining as hell, wouldn't it?
You remember those
like
five
42
games?
42 in a row. You would definitely remember the five that they won. The whole coach thing, I just can't get over. It makes we all know where this is going. We all know how this is going to end. I don't even disagree with the theory. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I would argue having a guy who's a talent evaluator who now has coaching chops in the G League, who you think maybe is a better fit to develop young talent. That makes more sense. It's been one of my criticisms of Chauncey at times, not being willing to play the young guys because I think he's coaching for his job and he wants to get another head coaching gig and he wants to win games. But that's not what we want. We want young guys to play and we want to develop guys. And so you've been in this weird rock and a hard place. Having a coach that we all know is going to get fired is going to be very weird. Like every time he does a press conference, I'm not going to care what he says. Because he's not going to be here for another 6 months.
Woj in the tweet did say he'll return to his front office role with the Blazers following the end of the G League season.
So he's just going to coach for 1 year?
There's could
just be a one-year stopgap?
An absolute nothing burger to my third eye theory, but yeah. I also wouldn't put it past this organization to just say we're keeping all of it in-house.
Yeah.
All of the things are staying in this house. Eric Gunderson tweeted, it's just for 1 year, the 24-25 Blazer team motto. And yes, he is accurate on that. I do want to ask you your thoughts on Anthony Edwards really pissing the old guard off.
The olds are very upset with Anthony Edwards right now.
Well, look, he stepped in it a little bit. He basically, I'll paraphrase here because I don't have the exact quote. He said basically,
he went plumbers and janitors on your
ass.
Yeah,
he said, I watched old NBA and the only one with skill was Michael Jordan and it wasn't a very good league. Magic Johnson came out and said, I don't listen to anybody that's never won a championship. Kevin Garnett made the claim that nobody in this league, in the young guard, could play 20 years ago in the NBA. Young Buck, you don't know what this league was like.
That's right.
I thought that was interesting. Every generation, what is it with that sport?
It's your sport, man.
It's
you guys
only
are
that
always
sport.
Beefing.
Football
every.
Is always like, man, these new guys are incredible. You see what these guys are doing? Baseball, man, it's awesome to watch this. And that sport's just like, no, we were better 45 years ago. We jumped 22 inches. You don't know what that life was like.
You imagine somebody
they hate each other.
Arguing Ohtani couldn't have played baseball in the 1970s. No, he wouldn't have fit, man. All those tank jobs, he wouldn't have cacked it in our generation. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, I'll go back 100 years and tell you none of those guys could have made it. But there is something weird about your sport. I don't get it. The generations are constantly beefing. Like, this is an incredibly dumb comment. And he also added in the quote that I didn't watch, but I'm going off highly. Like there was something in there like I wasn't alive to see it.
Yeah.
But I think Michael Jordan was the only one. It's like, dude, you clearly have no basis to even comment on this. First off, why even say that? But then to add to it from the old heads to say that nobody from the really? Jokic couldn't have played in the 1980s.
Well, it's not even the 80s. Kevin Garnett jumped into the fray and said, you don't know, you couldn't get this life 20 years ago. Like, really? Jokic couldn't play 22 years ago?
Could have played in the NBA 20 years ago.
I watched Tim Duncan
Steph Curry couldn't have played 20 years ago, jacking up threes all over the place.
Edwards' quote was, they say it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then. Jordan was the only one that really had the skill. End quote. That's what pissed everybody off.
Larry Bird had a lot of skill.
But he is doing the whole, like, it's tougher back then. No, it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't.
It was a more physical league, sure, if you want to go that route, but
that doesn't mean that these guys couldn't have.
No.
Like, good luck being physical with LeBron.
Everybody would have fit into their generation because that's the style of basketball that they would have played growing up. It's just you'll never be able to make that argument because guys would have grown up playing that way. They would have been playing more physical basketball and they would have been able to fit into that NBA. You're telling me somebody that's 6'11", 280 pounds couldn't fit into a more physical NBA? Like, it's just laughable and ridiculous. Your sport needs to bury the hatchet, man. It's really weird energy every offseason, I feel like. We just get constant beefs.
This is the only way you talk about the league. Too. It's like, hey, this young guy says the old guy sucked, or old guy says the young guys are no good. It's just like constantly back and forth of tearing all these generations down. It's like, can you all just shut up?
Can you just
shut up and appreciate every single generation and the evolution of your sport?
The Olympics was this to a T. It ended up becoming some dumb debate about could this team beat the 1992
dream?
Like, what? Who?
So dumb.
That's not a conversation. Nobody knows. They'll never play. Those guys are all old. This is like, what are we debating here? We're in the Olympics. They're going to win a gold. They didn't win by enough. They couldn't beat 92. They could beat 92. Like, just enjoy what you're watching, man. It's ridiculous.
NFL Zigger Zag next on The Fan. Nice comment on Jonathan Smith at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. F him!
I think the phrase in there is he could sit on a cactus. I think that was included in the text message too.
Jeez, so, a little harsh.
I think you're on a bit of a Sprague Island.
I
right
told
now.
You when yeah, I said the take. Yeah. I'm definitely on an island.
I don't know that I'm rooting necessarily for him, but he was in one of the most untenable spots you could.
It's a
imagine.
Really tough position to be.
Did he handle it as smoothly as he could have? No, but I just.
I'd argue there was no. You cannot give me a scenario where there was a smooth way to handle it.
No,
you can't.
No,
or you could have waited. You it can't was, wait on those. They start negotiations
no, they,
on all
they
these
start,
jobs.
And if I'm sure he was trying to, you know, get as much information about what is going to be here if I stay here, and he couldn't get enough certainty or confirmation or detail or answers, and he's like. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, the feeling and fear probably, too, of could your roster be picked apart because
it
of the
would
conf,
have been.
Right?
Yeah. He would have kept Chiles. He may have kept another player.
He could have kept
most
a handful of
those
guys
still probably leave because they're going from the Pac-12 to the Mountain West.
Yeah, and they didn't sign up to play in the Mountain West.
All right, let's get to NFL Zigger Zag. We'll get to the blackout news at the top of the hour.
Mm.
Also, a little FPI for you.
Ooh.
Football Power Index.
Love it.
You don't like the FPI?
No, I love the FPI.
Oh, okay.
It's that time of year.
It is that time of year. Let's start. ESPN.com has this big, big write-up with all these execs and players, and they're asked all these questions, and they give choices. And so it's up. You can go find it at ESPN's football page. I believe it was Jeremy Fowler that wrote this. And one of them is, which roster would you rather take?
Mm.
Now, you have to consider this, right? It's a now and it's a future.
Combo.
So their question is, do you take the Lions roster or do you take the Texans roster? Most of the execs that responded picked Houston. Dirt Zigger Zag, you'd rather take the Texans roster over the Lions.
Let me just look up one thing real quick.
CJ Stroud is younger than Jared Goff.
I know. I wasn't sure how old Jared Goff was. He's 29 years old. He's going to turn 30. I didn't know exactly how old he was.
Still have like 5, 6, 7 years left.
He might. Yeah, he might have a few more years left.
When did he get his? Did he get a new deal? Right.
He just got. Yeah. He just got.
Okay. So he's there three or four more years.
That was last off season, if I'm not mistaken.
His monster extension,
4-year, $212 million deal. I think I'm going to lean with the executives here.
So you're...
I'm taking the Texans.
Okay.
CJ Stroud is so young. I think they're going to regress a little bit this year, but it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. You drafted a defensive stud inside the top five last year as well. So a lot of young talent on that team. Controllable finances. They don't have to kick in a CJ Stroud extension for another 2 years at least, and then it won't even start until 2 years after that. So they got a lot of financial flexibility. I would not gamble on the Texans being better than the Detroit Lions this season, but if you're giving me the combo platter of not only short-term but long-term next 5 to 10 years, I will take the Houston Texans as well. I zig on that.
Okay, we'll continue on. ESPN, in that same poll, recently released, where Bills quarterback Josh Allen was voted by his peers, not the execs, the peers, the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Here's Louis Riddick when he found that out.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Look, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs or the team that said, look, when we play Josh Allen, we know. And with one swing of that arm, he can win the football game. And he almost did it against them. Mm-hmm. Just this past year, if Stephon Diggs makes the catch. And that throw, maybe the only other quarterback that can make that throw that he made to Stephon is their quarterback. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're staring at a guy who can do a lot of the same things that their quarterback can do. And the only way I can really kind of like look at this, you know, with a true, like, I would say objective perspective is this. Any quarterback that I played against who had that dual run-pass capability that I knew that no matter how deep I was as a safety on the football field, he could still put it over my head. Those are the guys who scared me to death.
So there's Louis Riddick. Zigger Zag. This is the year Allen silences those overrated rankings he continues to be put on.
I'm going to zag on this, but it's unfortunate because I think there's only one thing that he can do in order to get those labels gone, and that's win a Super Bowl. And am I picking the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl this year? No, I'm not. I think they're going to be a good team. I think they're going to be a playoff team.
So he gets to the AFC title game.
He's been to an AFC title game. He's been to an AFC title game, yeah. And he's still overrated. He's been in the playoffs every year. He's still overrated. If he loses in the Super Bowl, you know everybody's going to see. He can't win the big one.
That's, isn't it remarkable?
This is the way that it works. Lamar Jackson was just in an AFC title game. What did that do for him?
It's remarkable to watch him play because of how big and physical he can run. He's got a cannon. And I'm sitting on my couch, non-NFL football playing guy, going, damn, dude, like it must suck to have to prepare for this guy. And these guys do it, and they're still like, eh, he's not that good.
Think about this.
It's just a it's crazy how different that viewpoint is.
If that team can develop a consistent running attack to not make him their number one running back, then I think that'll be the biggest thing that will make the offense easy life easier for Josh
So
Allen.
They did last year in those final six games. That's why they were like 6-1 or 5-1 in the wind down of the season.
He's had to run for over 400 yards in every year of his career. This is the fun thing to think about, though, and it's unfortunate for the other quarterbacks in the league. How many active quarterbacks right now have a Super Bowl ring?
Oh, we've asked this question. It's like three, right?
Three.
Yeah. Rodgers, Stafford,
and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, like Flacco.
That's still a starting quarterback.
Technically, four.
That's still a starting quarterback in the NFL. Although he is in a controversy.
I picked him in my draft.
You never know. Here comes Joe Flacco. Like, everybody's going to be judged against Patrick Mahomes, and because of that, they will be overrated. And it's so stupid.
But it's not true. That's not true. Jalen Hurts doesn't ever get labeled this.
I mean, he should be labeled this.
But he's not. It's always Josh Allen.
Yeah, I
think that's kind of it.
I think we do it a ton with Lamar Jackson. I think we do it a ton with Justin Herbert.
The peers seem to think it's the Herberts and the Allens that are overrated, whereas the media will pick Lamar.
Yeah, there's one guy that stands alone in the league, and everybody else is clumped together. And there's only two other guys who have a ring, and they have one between the two of them.
Final one for you. It's a little bit of a two-for-one deal here. The Denver Broncos named Bo Nix their starting quarterback last week. We discussed that. So I got a two-for-one here. Zigger Zag. Bo hits his over passing yard prop of 2,900 yards. Zigger Zag, they hit their over on 5.5 win total. Do you believe now?
2,900 yards. That's what you're telling me his over prop is?
That's his over prop.
I'm gonna zig on both of those. I think I'm zigging on both of those.
So they're winning six games or more.
I think they can win six games.
And he's throwing for 3,000 yards or 29 plus 100.
So last year, just to put you, I might go gamble on that. Bryce Young had a horrific rookie season on a horrible franchise who fired their head coach like halfway through the year. He threw for 2,877 yards. He was 13 or, how many yards away, 113 yards away.
You got to take into account potential injuries.
You definitely do. You got to stay healthy. Desmond Ridder threw for 2,800 yards last year. That Desmond Ridder did.
These are all unders, by the way.
These are unders, but I'm just saying Desmond Ridder sucks, and he's not going to be in the NFL anymore. And
no,
Bryce
he's quite
Young
literally out of the NFL today.
Had a horrible rookie season, and he still nearly got there. And to hit wins on the season, they won eight games last year.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson sucks. And I'm not saying Bo Nix is even going to be better than Russell Wilson. I might go lay a prop on both of those combo platter. I'm zigging on that.
Well, I'll zig on if you win. I need $10 from the winnings. You're welcome.
I think you can get to six wins in that division. Not sure what the Chargers are going to be. I think they should be better, but still question marks there. I think the Raiders are going to be dog-ass. And I think the Broncos have a manageable schedule, so I'm gonna zig on both.
Loaded second hour of the program. There's NFL Zigger Zag. We do it every Wednesday at 6:45. Hopefully you can hear us in hour two. I don't think we're blacked out, but we'll talk about the blackout. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.